Kool-Aid drinkers, Big Z here. I hope you all had a great Thanksgiving, some good food, some good family, because the football, well, it could have been a little better, probably. The Lions losing 16-14, of course, to the Bears. We'll get into all that. We'll try to break it down as much as we can. Unfortunately, it's been the same story most weeks here, but we will try to do everything we can to break down this game, just our thoughts, you know, about the Lions going forward. Dan Campbell. What we think about, you know, some of the questionable decisions in this game. So sit back, relax, grab your Kool-Aid. It's time for the pod. This is Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. We're lifelong Lions fans. Bob!
All right, let's go, Lions fans. The Jared Goff era has begun.
Connor!
Hey, let's bite some kneecaps. Detroit versus everybody, baby.
UJ!
A new era in Detroit has begun, people. So get on the train or get left behind.
Rud Dog.
This is going to be an unprecedented era of Detroit Lions respect.
And I'm Big Z. It's a new era of Detroit Lions football. It's going to be one hell of a season. We'll be drinking the blue Kool-Aid with Dan Campbell all year long. Predictions, thoughts, reactions, everything we got to hear. Sit back, relax, and grab your Kool-Aid, fans. Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back after the Thanksgiving weekend. We've had a long time to think about this 16-14 loss to the Bears on Thanksgiving. Lions' fifth consecutive loss on Thanksgiving. And Dan Campbell's first Thanksgiving experience. The whole nation got introduced to Dan Campbell this weekend. But before we got into all of that, let's get around to the Blue Kool-Aid crew. So I'm Big Z. Let's get to the rest. We got UJ.
Hey, everybody.
Connor.
Yo.
Rudow.
Yo.
And last but not least, Bob.
Greetings, everybody.
All right, gentlemen and listeners. The Lions lose 16-14 on a last-second field goal to the Chicago Bears, who go on an eight-minute-plus drive to end the game to set up that field goal. We got, you know, a little bit of everything, got some Jared Goff fun, you know, some an actual deep pass in this game, but a lot of check down still, a lot of the things we've seen, a little bit of injury stuff, a deep pass, but then we got double timeouts, third and 30s. So this game had a lot for the folks watching at home on Thanksgiving. A lot of it not so great, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But where do you guys want to start? Let's start with a double timeout. Back-to-back timeout at the end of the game.
Jesus.
That seems to be the hot, big talking point. So let's just jump out in front of it, shall we? So Lions get them to third and 9, and it looks like, you know, they have the chance to stop them. They kick a field goal, then we get the ball back. But then they call a timeout, and then they call another timeout because they were confused on the defensive play call. Dan Campbell said he called it because even though he claimed to know the rule. I don't know if he actually knew it. But wait, first of all, do we think he knew that calling back-to-back timeouts was illegal?
I'm just going to believe him. I don't know.
I don't even know it matters.
Yeah.
He's just taking credit for it. That's all. He's just taking accountability.
But I wonder if he knew the rule. But anyways, because he said he did it to stop him from scoring a touchdown. But actually, scoring a touchdown would have been the worst thing in that scenario because at least we get the ball back with a chance to win the game.
Yeah.
Instead, they get a first down, and then they just set up for an easy chip shot field goal.
Yeah. Wasn't Dan Campbell's finest moment.
No.
And of course, it happened on Thanksgiving and in front of the biggest national audience they'll see all year. So
it's tough. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Dan Campbell's had a couple of rough weeks.
All they had to do was stop him in 8.5 minutes. I mean, come on. And it kind of brought me back to that Packers game a few years back when they just kept handing the ball to Kuhn play after play, grinding out first downs, and we couldn't get the ball back with over 7 minutes. And this is 8.5 minutes.
Yeah.
Against the Bears. Oh, my God. We couldn't get a stop in there. It was so disappointing to me. There's no excuse for it. I don't even know what to say about
Andy
it.
Andy Dalton at quarterback? Yeah, no, shouldn't be.
And then, so they come out of the double timeout, too. This is something that confused me. Third and 4, And we're playing like 7 yards off the ball.
Yeah.
I was like, what is going on? They're playing like nine. They're like playing at the goal line.
Easy first down.
All they need is a first. I was flabbergasted by what I was seeing in the defensive alignment. It was the easiest throw in the world to make because it was impossible to stop based on where they were lined up. All they had to do was run a little slant. That's what they did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't get that at all, man. The defense has been playing decent the last couple of weeks, but then that was just terrible. I mean, I don't know what they were doing.
I really like Aaron Glenn, but it seems like in the clutch moments, he sometimes makes weird choices with.
Yeah, that's the clutch
three.
Moments.
Yeah.
Three. We've been talking about this all year. It's weird. I don't know what it is. I'm curious to see if he has an explanation because I haven't heard one at least.
I haven't either. Unless it was just a misalignment, that'd be the only explanation I could think of that's reasonable.
Yeah.
So just some more, you know, it's a little frustrating things, especially right at the end of the game there when it mattered. But overall, I mean, Aaron Glenn, we still like the job he's done at least. We can't speak for the offensive side of the ball right now, but at least the defensive side,
yeah,
is heavily improved. What a lot of people think is still an undermanned defense. So that's good at least. The other big things in this game that were highly notable in terms of the downside. We had a couple third and 30s in this game.
Oh,
yep.
Crazy.
I mean, that's just
so many holding calls.
Yeah, that's just not acceptable. I mean, did you guys think a lot of them were like true holding calls? Because I mean, a lot of replays.
I feel like in the NFL, there is so much holding that there's often outrage when it's called versus not called because it's happening more than it gets called. But yeah, I know Goff was complaining about it, saying like, oh, we get called more than other teams. That might be true. But when you know how they're calling it, you got to stop doing it. And doing it twice, three times in a row is unacceptable in any circumstances, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, these guys should know when they're getting put in a position where they could be called for, you know. And they don't know when to let go or they don't, I don't know. Because there's a certain amount of holding allowed within, you know, the body. But once the guy tries to break loose, you got to let him go, man. And these guys just keep clinging to him. And I don't know.
Yeah, it's so easy. Just let him go.
No. You're right. I know. I'm not saying it's easy.
They get paid to do this. They got to be able to do
it. But it takes a certain amount of discipline that these guys just seem to lack.
As an old lineman, I can somewhat sympathize because it can be very hard. And sometimes it's just like the refs are calling, even when you're not really holding it, it just looks like it to them. But if something's going on that's three times in a row and stuff, you should probably start figuring out what that pattern is and not keep doing it.
Yeah. Because I've heard from an old lineman once that they're the smartest people on the field. I don't think that's true necessarily.
This is true. These are true true facts.
No, that's the complete opposite. The old lineman my experience
spoke to was great.
But if that's true, they should be able to figure it out. So.
Yeah. Oh man. The Lions get the ball inside the Chicago 30 and then end up with a third and 32 at the 50-yard line, and then run a draw play for 1 yard.
Yeah.
All you needed was like 5-10 yards at least to get a field goal out of this terrible drive.
That's their third and long play.
Yeah, it's their third and long play. It's their third and short play.
I mean, don't you think it's time for maybe Dan Campbell to cede play calling? I mean, it has not worked out, and
I mean, what do you think of the reports that Anthony Lynn and Jared Goff are not getting along?
That was
I don't know.
They refuted the report, of course, but
it might be true. I mean, I will tell you though, Anthony Lynn was not a great play caller, but his play calls were at least more interesting. Campbell was he does some really weird things on offense that make no sense to me, like running on third and long. Yeah. I don't know. I don't get it. And
despite us having a 40-yard touchdown in this game, it was still a super conservative, play sheet most of the game here.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it also, though, this would be the year if Dan Campbell is serious about of doing play calling in the future, if this isn't just a stopgap measure, if he's actually, you know, interested in doing it now, this would be the time for him to figure out if he really can do it before next year when, you know, time comes to hire a new offensive coordinator or whatever you know, we need to do for the future move.
Are we surprised that the guy who said he's not an X's and O's guy is knocking out of the park as an offensive coordinator?
It's a learning year for everybody.
It hasn't all been bad, though.
If he's really, like, determined to be a play caller for the Lions, that's not even the whole reason we hired him. And that changes the trajectory of your vision for him. So that's something you'd have to think about. And he's not really doing a great job so far of that. I'm not saying he's a bad coach, but his play calling has left a lot to be desired. I think anyone can agree on that. So I wouldn't think ideally you want him to be a permanent play caller. I don't think he should want that either.
I mean, if he can do it like Sean Payton does it, then I wouldn't be too mad about it. But I mean, ideally I want whatever works best. And if that's him play calling, then fine. If not, fine too. But he just needs to figure it out. That's all I'm saying. Like, now is the time though for him to, you know, get to know if he has what it takes to do it going forward, if he really wants to.
Yeah, Red Dog, on that, I think this whole year is kind of, I think Campbell, since he signed that 6-year contract or whatever, this year is kind of a mulligan for him. He can pretty much do whatever the hell he wants. So why not learn play calling? Like,
that's what I'm saying.
I've always wanted to do it since I was a kid.
No, I'm just saying he gets to see all aspects of the game. You know, even if he gives it up, he'll have a better idea about what goes into it for next year.
True.
So
exactly.
I mean, unless you're down on Campbell, I don't see the harm in it right now.
Well, if you're Kyle Behnke of the M Live, the honeymoon's over. Whatever the hell that means.
Whatever.
Does that mean? Because like,
Kyle said it.
The honeymoon is over when the season started.
I was like,
week one.
He was writing that from his honeymoon, and they were just leaving.
That makes more sense now. But like, really, realistically, the honeymoon's over after maybe like next year. Like, he's going to get this year for sure. And then I'd say probably next year guaranteed, unless it's looking all like, you know, over by the end of next year too, maybe. But
I
like,
think that means with fans, like,
I don't know. I think maybe with the press, with the fans.
I mean, if he doesn't win a game this year, the honeymoon's definitely over. Like,
but if you're freaking out about him now, then you were probably never really a true believer in what was, you know, the plan here. I mean, it's just so early still in what we're doing.
Yeah. I mean, having said all that, the line, Goff is 21-25 in this game, only 4 incompletions. Now, I mean,
you only throw to your check down. That's kind of not too hard.
Isn't that like the best since like 2004 or something like that?
He did look better.
QB rating wise.
He looked better than Boyle. We can also agree on that.
Yeah.
And he had a target in Josh Reynolds to go. He hit vertical too.
That was a nice play. We all couldn't believe our eyes, I don't think, when we saw the pass.
No.
I wanted to see more passing.
I'd be curious to see, like, if they maybe occasionally brought Blau in for a snap or maybe ran some Wildcat or something. If maybe it could unlock something in Goff.
We had some.
Because I don't know. I mean, it seems like...
Blau's not a Wildcat quarterback.
Yeah, I wouldn't say.
Yeah, I don't really see Boyle doing that much.
I don't know that we have anyone. Probably. Swift? Just run Swift, as it?
I mean, Swift tried throwing a pass this year, but I like that one play where it's... Or no, it was a throwback. It went for a fumble, but then they ruled it incomplete pass. Early on in the
Or series. Maybe add it to Igwebuke's growing list of talents. I don't know.
Well, Swift will probably be out this week. So
he
won't be throwing the ball anywhere.
I was going to get to that, but yeah, it looks like Swift will be out. Jamal Williams got 15 carries in this game for 65 yards. Good to see him back out there. Although I'm not sure if that's a role that, you know, quite fit him. I like him as the complimentary back, not as the lead back necessarily. So hopefully that means Godwin Igwebuke gets more opportunities here in the next game, going against a Vikings team that it's really reeling defensively, giving up 2 games in a row, 30-plus points, and having a lot of injuries. But we can get into that later this week, previewing that game.
Hey, can I throw in one quick thing about the general state of the Lions? I don't know about you guys, but when I run into non-Lions fans now, it's almost like they feel sorry for me. They're like, I thought you guys were going to get it this week. You know, real condescending. I'm like, just shut up.
I hate that more than anything. Yeah, exactly.
I get that all the time.
I'd rather be hated than pitied, you know?
I'll tell you one thing, though, about this team. They're 0-4, but every interview I see with the players, coaches, that this team seems to be really together, man. I mean, like they're all for one, one for all and all that. And it there doesn't seem to be much a break in that anywhere. They all seem to be right with each other. And that's a positive thing, you know. And I think they're really, really trying. I think they're really putting the effort out. And you know, eventually it's got to fall their way. But that's an important thing. I mean, if you're looking at the overall big picture of this thing, how that you say Campbell's losing, he's not losing this team at all.
Right. No.
He's got this team.
Do you think Patricia ever had the team like this?
I mean, like, no.
I don't know if he
maybe
did.
Like week one of his first season, but no.
We did get that one magical Patriots game with him. That was the highlight.
That's when I thought I was on the moon after that game. I thought we were
going to Super Bowl. This is our future, man. Nope.
Yeah, I mean, you do have to give Campbell credit for that at the very least. The leadership qualities that we thought he'd have are, you know, they proved to be true in terms of like team, like keeping a team together, keeping a locker room together, the anti of what was here before.
Yeah.
Now we just got to get the X's and O's. And I mean, but I say that with the discipline on the field needs to be better still.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, keeping everybody in the locker room, everybody's happy. That's nice. But it's got to translate on the field to a degree, too, in terms of the discipline.
Yeah.
I think they get that, but I just don't see why it's not, we're not seeing it more or why it's not happening more.
I mean, first and foremost, I mean, talent. There's so much lack of talent on the roster.
Yeah. I mean, you get more holding calls when you're getting burned a lot. So
do you don't you think on the defense, though, the discipline as far as their assignments is pretty good? I mean, they're playing pretty well for an understaffed defense. I mean,
I think we'd all agree on that.
Games. So
I agree.
I mean, from that aspect, I think the discipline's been good. People are doing their assignments.
But, yeah.
To a degree. I mean, like, there's moments like in the Steelers game where, you know, they just completely blow a coverage or something like that. Or in the Ravens game that we mentioned before, it's usually on a younger guy, which I think the Lions are more than willing to accept because that's the roster they've put together and the obviously the expectations that they've kind of put on themselves in this retooling year, not rebuild.
Rebuild.
It's a rebuild.
It's a rebuild.
We're 0-10-1. It's a rebuild.
Martha, Sheila said rebuild a few weeks ago. So
you can't say, you can't even possibly say that a retool with a straight face if you're.
Yeah. Did you guys like Joe Buck's comment during the game about the Lions scoring touchdowns? They're not used to it too much this year.
I don't like Joe Buck at all, so
Joe Buck
can stock of anything he says.
I once ran into him in a hallway in Ford Field, actually.
Did you say what's with the long face?
No, I didn't say anything. But
too bad.
But yeah, he's a squealy little man. He's exactly as awful as you think. Seeing him in person.
What's all this Joe Buck hate?
Everyone
hates him.
He's horrible.
He's so boring to listen to on the broadcast. He's terrible. He's really bad at baseball. Any baseball fans that listen to us, he's just like so uninteresting. I don't know. He didn't have his family.
I don't know. Him and Troy Aikman are pretty good together.
Troy Aikman's awesome. Troy Aikman carries.
Troy Aikman's okay, but Joe Buck's horrible.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Okay. The worst.
Ah, I didn't know you. Were.
Who'd you put up there? Like Gus Johnson?
Anyone.
Okay.
Gus.
I know if you had a second. Like, I'm just curious what the high bar is then. If Joe Buck's the low bar.
Al Michaels is good.
Yeah, Al Michaels is good. And Chris Collinsworth, I think, is underrated too. A lot of people don't like him, but I he's grown on me. I didn't like him at first.
I like Collinsworth. But
he's grown on me for sure. They. Really good analyzing the game. Anyways, all right, enough about our announcer's rant. But I didn't know if you guys had any reaction to the comment about the Lions' lack of scoring touchdowns that he mentioned during the game. It stood out to me.
I pretty much ignore whatever Joe Buck says. So.
All right, fair enough. Jared Goff fumbled again in this game. Still problem holding on the ball.
Lance.
But, I mean, got burned off. I mean, Decker got burned off the edge. On that play, unfortunately. Sewell, though, our highest rated offensive player again this week. So that's an encouraging sign. Reynolds also up there. Our worst one, Kadarius Hodge. He's rough to watch on special teams.
Cut him,
too.
Please.
He's all around. Yeah. It's been just really awful to watch play football for the Detroit Lions. So that hasn't been good. Jonah Jackson had one of his better games this week. I mean, the Lions' offensive line wasn't bad. I mean, it's a good defense of the Bears. Again, 21 to 25 passing. So some encouraging signs there at the very least. Levi Wudzirike, I thought, played pretty decently in this game.
Yeah.
Stepped up, made a couple plays. That's encouraging. I'm still waiting for Aleem McNeil to kind of take over on the inside a little more.
Yeah, he's shown some flashes, but I don't know. They haven't really used him. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, yeah, 25 snaps only in this game, so not a lot of usage.
Yeah. He's going to need to learn how to hand fight so he can get off blocks. That's sort of like everybody on the D-line right now, but keep adding moves to his repertoire so he can impact the game a little more.
And he is still a rookie.
Right.
Come on.
But he flashes every once in a while, some of that plus potential from the nose tackle.
They all do. But we're talking about, a lot of these guys we're talking about are rookies too. So, I mean, we're expecting them to be all pro players right out of the gate. It doesn't usually happen that way. But
I don't expect it, but we want it.
Yeah,
we do want it. That's true. But.
Mamani Awarie had one of his better games in this one, I thought. Nice pick as well.
Yeah, he could definitely be a part of the secondary for a while.
He seems to find his way around the ball somehow, man.
They got some nice pieces in the secondary. I mean, I don't know who they're going to build that secondary around, but guys are making plays back there, and that's been kind of surprising given the injuries and stuff.
Yeah, and I thought Anzalone actually played one of his better games of the year, if not his best game.
What?
He was all over the field in this one.
Said that? Way to go, Z. Yeah. Nice. Some Anzalone love there.
I never thought I'd hear Anzalone love
him. Yeah. I know.
What? I haven't been anti-Anzalone.
I mean, we've all been a little anti-Anzalone. It's okay. We're not.
I mean, he has good things and bad. He's not like a linebacker that's going to plow through a lineman. Like he needs to make the right read and go through right away. So that's why it's hit or miss on him some of these weeks, depending on the teams that we play. But this is definitely one of his better games for sure.
Yeah. Luckily, our opponent was horrible. I mean, the Bears are a mess, too. But
yeah. It sucks losing to a team that, like, fired their coach but then didn't fire him.
Yeah, I know.
And then he told his team that he wasn't getting fired. No one believed him. So then the owner come down and tell him, no, he's not fired yet, you guys. Man, it's crazy. Like, the Lions are, like, one of two teams in the NFL, them and the Seahawks, that are out of playoff contention right now.
Wow.
Or at least in the NFC.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
and everybody's in the hunt except for the Lions.
That's a technicality. I wouldn't say the Bears are truly in the hunt.
They're only a game out, and they play two games against the Vikings. So, and the Vikings are that 7th seed right now in the NFC. So they're very much in it.
Wait, Red Dog, you got to sell it. You always sell it. No matter how terrible things get, you always have a path for the Lions to succeed.
Oh, this year? Yeah. totally a wow. path for them. Like, I think like half the league has to lose half their games or something like that. And we have to win out. So it's there.
Looks pretty grim.
It's not
pretty
mathematically grim. Gone.
I wanted to just touch on briefly, you know, did you guys get a chance to watch the Ohio State Michigan?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Bob and I are big Michigan fans.
Oh, boy.
Go Blue.
Go Blue.
Oh, don't go too much.
The only reason I bring that up is because the Lions, I think, have now, like, it's over 70% chance to get the first.
They've got it locked.
It's looking pretty good. I wouldn't say locked. If the Lions somehow manage to win two games, then they probably will not get it, just based on strength of schedule type.
So, yeah, they have it locked, like you just said. They have to win two games.
my over wins bet of 4.5 isn't looking too good for the season. But anyways, Aiden Hutchinson, did you get a chance to see him in this game? A lot of us have seen him
crushers
throughout the year.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this is on a national stage and the biggest stage, and he just absolutely plowed and mauled people. I think he pressured Ohio State on half of the snaps.
Yeah, he had a ton of pressures and three sacks. I think he has the school record for sacks in a season.
So him and Thibodeau have been kind of mocked first overall, depending on who you read. I was just curious if you guys have a preference. Way too early.
Completely unbiased draft preference is Hutchinson because, you know.
Hutchinson, born in Michigan, going to Michigan, obviously, right now, would probably be a high fan favorite. If I had to pick between two, I'd probably lean Hutchinson just because I think he fits kind of the culture that the Lions want, like high motor guy, lack of injury history. But it's really the motor thing that I like. Thibodeau, at times, I think part of the downside of him is he can take a playoff if it's on the backside, maybe, or something like that. So, again, this is way too early. I can't confirm that without, like, digging into it a little deeper. That's just kind of what you read in the tea leaves. But
that means the Lions are going to draft a tight end because there's two great defensive prospects.
Oh, God.
Right.
No tight ends, right. No cornerbacks, please.
Say such things.
I mean, it's got to be one of those two players. There's no one else they can really afford to draft. I know there's that safety or whatever people are talking about.
The quarterback.
Kyle Hamilton on Notre Dame is a beast.
He's
probably one of the most talented players in the draft, but I think we need a pass rush more than that.
But if you're at number one, I don't think you could take a safety there.
It's hard to take a safety. Like, a safety is most effective when you have a good pass rush.
Right.
So.
Like, right. Even if it was a linebacker, maybe.
Think about how much better a secondary can get with a good pass rush, and they're already impressing us.
So Hamilton paired up with Tracy Walker sounds pretty freaking awesome.
So what should Lions fans do with us? I mean, they're likely out of the playoffs.
Try to win games.
I mean, they're mathematically not eliminated yet, but I know, root for them to win games. I mean, at this point, when you're out of the running for the playoffs, do you root for your team? This is a discussion, unfortunately, we have every year because the Lions have not been
the morality of rooting for the top.
But do you root for your team to win, or do you root for them to just get the better draft pick at this point?
I'm for the wins myself. I mean,
at least one.
They're already going to have a good draft pick. You know, I mean, I would love to see get a couple wins to build on for.
Yeah.
You know, but
and the Rams keep losing, so that draft pick keeps getting a little better than people thought it might be.
Stafford's helping out the Lions still.
I know, he's thrown pick six in three consecutive weeks in a row.
Yeah.
That's my quarterback, baby.
That's rough.
He's helping out Detroit any way he can.
He decided he could help us win a Super Bowl by a really roundabout way.
Yeah. Did you see the reports, too? Apparently, he's playing super injured, kind of like the last few years we've seen with him in Detroit. Like a sprained elbow.
They need Mr. Miyagi in the dress.
And he still has those lingering back issues from his times like in the.
It doesn't seem like that ever fully healed. Here. I don't know.
It's the lower back is tough. I don't think he got back surgery, right? So it's just something that probably won't go away until he retires, or maybe it'll never go away. I don't know.
Kelly can sidearm up a pretzel with the best of them, though. You know, soft pretzels flying. She's still
right,
got the
exactly.
Arm.
Right. Oh man. I mean, this is all I had in my agenda. Did you guys want to touch on anything else? How was your Thanksgiving? Everybody have a good Thanksgiving?
Great. How's yours?
Good.
Not the best.
Yeah, it was a little rough, I guess.
Not the best.
Laid up in bed.
A couple illnesses floating around.
Hopefully
everybody heals up pretty quick.
And watching the Lions didn't help heal the soul necessarily.
No, it didn't.
I was drinking some Kool-Aid, though.
Connor and I were telling you about how we do a shot for each touchdown, so we got to do one shot for the game.
Woo!
And that was fun. But
two shots, right? Two touchdowns.
There's two. We got two shots over the course of like 4 hours. So we're not really good.
Buzzing, baby. You're buzzing.
Yeah. We should have done shots for the Michigan game. That we might have been feeling good.
Yeah, that would have been more fun.
exactly.
Yeah.
Oh man.
The Lions, though, they're just I don't know. I don't know where you guys are on them this year, but they're not breaking my heart this year because I'm just kind of resigned to a terrible year. And I'm kind of looking for individual performances, which I think we're seeing some of that if you're that's what you're looking for. But.
I think the thing that bugs me the most is during a couple of these games, I find myself just bored.
Yeah,
and that really pisses me off. Like,
the offense,
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah, I mean, like we can't pull anything exciting out of a hat somewhere. Come on, man.
I like those trick plays against the Rams. Why don't we try more of that?
Yeah, I mean, where's that?
Yeah,
or we should force something down the field. I'm sorry, I don't know. Maybe nothing's always there, but you got to at least try and try to open up.
I think the Lions come out in triple option and just run it all game this week against the Vikings. No one will see it coming. Khalif Raymond's the quarterback because he's kind of got that shifty quarterback thing for a triple option.
That would be exciting.
We can't run Wildcat. Now we're running this.
I've always wanted to see someone try to run triple option in the NFL. I'm just curious if it could work.
Yeah, I don't know how Navy can run the same offense for like 100 years and and still just mow people down with it. It just
let's put in Jack Fox at receiver just for a couple plays. I don't know.
Receiver? How about quarterback? He has the one nice throw earlier.
Yeah,
There you go. Yeah, UJ. Right, I'd like to see like on those third downs, you know, take a shot deep. You know, if it's intercepted, it's like a punt, you know, or you get an interference call or
especially
whatever.
On like 3rd and 30.
Yeah.
Throw it up. Hail Mary it.
I know.
Or you could run it up the middle for 3 yards.
No, 1 yard. 3 yards have been great.
Yeah. They'll never expect us to do it again, will they?
Those mad lads would never do it twice.
Oh boy. Oh man. Yep.
Tough. I mean, there's the season's lost. Like, what do you root for at this point? I mean, I think you can root for the wins while also rooting for the number one pick. That seems like a paradox, but it doesn't have to be if you just don't think about it.
It seems almost safe, doesn't it, Connor? To root for the win.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a win. If the Lions win, they're still in the first position.
That's the thing. We can afford a win. I think we have a good shot against the Vikings, maybe.
I do too.
Yeah, 7-point underdogs against them.
For us, that's like an even line. We're always going to be.
See, what happens?
7-10.
What happens if we beat?
How are the
Vikings
Lions against the spread this year?
Just get the taste for it, and then they just go on a spree and win out the rest of the year. And now we're picking at like 15 or like or 10 or 12 or something like that.
That would be weird.
Oh, there's a scenario.
Well, then not gonna happen. What, so what I don't even want to entertain it. Be honest, but
you don't want to entertain that possibility. I like that possibility.
I've been talking about them winning out for the last 11 weeks on the pod, so just waiting for it to actually happen.
Yeah, UJ.
No, I mean we've been really good against the spread though, haven't we?
Yeah, I forgot the record against the spread, but I mean the Lions covered in this game, so they say they say good teams win, great teams cover. So
I guess they're great.
The Lions have covered the last 2 weeks. I know.
Covered
against the Ravens. A few other games. I think they have above 500 against the spread actually this year.
Wow.
So not it's not all bad, right?
Yeah.
You're better. You're gambling.
I definitely went big on the Lions for this one, so I was happy at least in that regard. I did not go money line. I went spread. So and they lost by 2. So beautiful.
I want money line.
Plus three underdog. So. All right, gentlemen. I think that's going to wrap it up for us here. Sometimes there's no more things to add about this team in its current state. So we're going to wrap it up. Instagram, Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. Twitter, at Drinking Lions. Please follow us on there. Let us know your thoughts on the team. Maybe some draft. Picks that you're thinking of or just your thoughts on the team in general. I'd love to hear it. Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast, please download, please subscribe, please leave a review. Always greatly appreciated. Other than that, thank you everybody for listening. Thanks to our producer, Kid Jay. Thank you to Sideline Report as well. Always appreciate them hosting the podcast on that site as well, in addition to all the platforms I just mentioned. So thank you, everybody. Hope you have a great start to your December, and we'll be back later this week to discuss Lions hosting the Vikings. And last but not least, as always,
go.
field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, 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 go hard, win the game. With honor you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain, Alliance